I'm going to start with a video clip. And my prayer is that for those that are here that are feeling burdened, those who are feel that they just don't sure if they're going to be able to make the next step on their own, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just would be with you right now, and you'd be able to just drop those burdens with him, and that you would be able to hear God's voice, and you'd be encouraged. And I also pray that God would speak through me, and that all ego would be pushed aside, and God's words would be shared. All right, can you play the video? Yeah, he came to get me.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God had this messy plan, a plan to save the world. And to do that, he was going to send his son. Where does the God of the universe send his son? Where does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come? To a barn, a stable, a manger, of all places. Certainly no place fit for a king. But then again, this wasn't any ordinary king. When I say it was messy, I mean messy. It was a barn, a stable, right? So you've got animals and animal stuff, manure, mud, a pitiful place for people, much less a place for the King of Kings to be born. Why would God do that? Well, I can't tell you for sure, because Isaiah explains to us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But that same prophet, 400 years before Jesus was born, said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way, and that he has laid our iniquities on him." You see, Jesus came to a messy place. Oh, yeah, a barn, a manger, that's messy. But he came to a messy world. Why? Because the shepherd was coming to take care of the sheep, to prepare a way for them to go home. That's what a shepherd does. He lives where the sheep are. He sleeps where they sleep. He eats where they eat. It got Jesus in trouble. Why did Jesus eat with sinners? Because that's what the shepherd does. An angel appeared to the shepherds in the field and said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." A sign. You ever wondered what that sign was? A sign for what? Maybe a sign that Jesus is accessible to everyone. A sign that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills can relate to a homeless person. Because Jesus never had a home, never had a place to rest his head. Maybe it was a sign that God would have nothing to do with the social status of mankind. A sign that he detests the splendor of humans because it's not worthy of him. But it was a sign for us that we should follow suit. In fact, the Apostle Paul later on would write, "We should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Although he was the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that he made himself nothing, becoming a servant, being made in human likeness." A servant. You see, being a servant is messy. And Jesus set this incredible example for us. I mean, he got down on his knees and he washed feet. The God of the universe, the God who deserved the best of everything, got on his knees. He's the God who came to the world and was laid in a manger, a feed trough of all places. Why such a messy place? because he was following a messy plan.
So needless to say,
that very first Christmas was dirty. It was grimy, it was filthy. But thank God it was, because without it, what a mess we'd be in.
I love that line. He came to get messy, and thank God he did, because if not, what a mess we would be in. Can we get the PowerPoint up? Thanks. Christmas is a wonderful time, and it's a messy time. I've done a little bit of studying on family system theory, and they talk about family dynamics and so on, and how the most disassociated person, the person that doesn't allow someone to affect them, can last about 15 minutes around the dinner table at Christmas time before the family and just, ah! And it's a wonderful time, and it's a messy time. And then even with when you have kids, you discover the messiness when they're making gingerbread cookies and icing. Can I get the next slide? And they're working on it, and they're painting, and then there's icing all over the table that you spent 3 weeks refinishing over the summer. And you get home, and they're like, Daddy, look what I did. And they run up, and they want to give you a hug, and there's icing all over, and you're like, yeah. Wash yourself up first, right? And it's interesting how we do that. And yet, I remember doing that once, and God challenging me, saying, so you're saying to your daughter, you need to clean yourself up before you can come and give me a hug. And it just kind of hit me. It's like, oh, that's not what I want. Who cares if I get messy? And how often does that carry over into our relationship with God? Where we think that we need to clean ourselves up before God will accept us and come to us. That's not the case at all. So the beautiful thing is that he stepped into the messiness that we were at, where we were at, to redeem us. Can you get the next slide? The Gospel of John starts off with this in a kind of really beautiful way. We're talking about God coming near. Before time itself was measured, the voice was speaking. The voice was and is God. This celestial word remained ever present with the Creator. His speech shaped the entire cosmos. Immersed in the practice of creating, all things that exist were birthed in him. His breath filled all things with a living, breathing light. That John is picking up on here, and he's purposely connecting with Genesis, about God speaking creation into being. And in John 1:12, we have, the earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, the English translation, I feel like I'm, every time I move, I...
Lower?
Okay.
There we go. All right. Always ask the professional. Okay, so where was I? Genesis. Yeah, God's Spirit hovering over the waters. And the English really doesn't do it a great justice in the translations, because the word water can also be translated as chaos. And that God's Spirit was hovering over the chaos. And he came in and he spoke life. And here we are at Christmas, celebrating Christmas, and God's Spirit was hovering over the chaos. And instead of this time, instead of speaking life, he stepped into the chaos to redeem life. Again, I when I stop and I pause, I think, wow, God, you're amazing. And who you are, your willingness to step in to the chaos to redeem us. Next slide. John continues, a light that thrives in the depths of darkness, blazes through murky bottoms. It cannot and will not be quenched. I love that, how the translator put that. A light that thrives in the depths of the darkness. That no matter how messy things are, no matter how dark things seem, it's powerless to the light. That God's light will continually shine through that. No matter how we feel that we're in the murky bottoms of a situation, God's light will prevail. Next slide.
And here we have this opportunity. Are we going to walk towards the light? Or are we going to stay in the darkness? And the beautiful thing about God's gift is, again, it has nothing to do with us and our messiness. Because it's not us that brings the light, it's Him who brings the light. And we are invited to walk towards that. John continues, but for all who did receive and trust Him, He gave them the right to be reborn as children of God. He's bestowed His birthright, not by human powers or initiative, by God's will. The voice took on flesh and became human and chose to live alongside us. We have seen Him enveloped in undeniable splendor, the one true Son of the Father, evidenced in the perfect balance of grace and truth. I love how the translator put that. He became human and chose to live alongside of us. But God was done speaking through prophets, speaking through commandments, and He was going to kind of come face to face to reveal His love. And the reason He did that, thanks, is because He sees who we really are, our child of God selves. And the world in the chaos makes us think that we're not that, that we can't be that. We'll never be enough for that. And yet, we are children of the one true King. We were created in His image. That's our identity. Underneath all the murkiness and the messiness, that is what God sees. And He came to restore that and redeem that. That is our value. That is why He came. For those who think, I don't know why God would do this for me or value me. Well, it's because He made you and He valued you, so get over it. You don't have a choice in the matter. God chooses to be put value on that. And how He did this through the most peculiar of plans. A carpenter and a teenage girl. And being born as a baby in the midst of the messiness. Again, He's sending a very clear message to us that everyone can approach Him. And it's amazing when you interact with a baby. I don't care how tough you are. When you're holding a baby, you just get all goo goo gaga-ish. And all pretense that you hold about yourself disappears. Because the baby doesn't care. The baby just accepts and loves. Again, He's sending a very particular message. It doesn't matter of the messiness and the burdens that we carry. He will receive us. Next slide. The big word for this in theology is called kenosis, where God empties Himself to become human. And I like to think about it as He poured Himself out into us, into humanity, to redeem us. And that whole picture of pouring Himself out is just part of God's nature and a part of the Trinity. Next slide. The Father loves the Son reciprocates that love, and the love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. In short, through all the eternity, God is this social trinity, the community of love. And so you hear of this dynamic before creation. There's God the Father pouring love into God the Son pouring love into the Father, and that back and forth is the Holy Spirit. It's this natural part of who they are, this unconditional love existence. And Christ, in His choice to become human and to redeem us, He pours Himself out, just as He pours Himself into the Father, into humanity to redeem us. And yet, through that, we are made clean, we are made whole, and we're redeemed. And we're invited into this relational dynamic. Next slide. Thank you. That it is not something that we're bystanders of. We're children of God. We are invited into this Trinitarian relationship where God the Father pours into the Son and the Son and into us and the Holy Spirit in this wonderful give and take. And we're invited to stand into that fullness of who we are. But the thing is, for many of us, we've gotten used to the darkness. And we've had experiences and woundedness that has taught us to act in a certain way and to hold on to those things. And we've bought into the myth that if I act this way, then I will be safe and no one will hurt me. And time again, as a pastor, I'm continually shocked by how many people hold on to these pains because they think that they'll give them safety. And yet Jesus wants to bring freedom. And yet for some of us, the light scares us. We don't trust it. And the invitation at Christmas, the invitation throughout our existence with Christ is, are you willing to walk towards the light? Are you willing to put down those burdens so that God can really show you who you are? Next slide. We do a great job of impersonating ourselves, but not being who we really are. You see, in the Bible, Jesus, or Paul, refers to us as a new creation. That when we come into relationship with Christ, we surrender ourselves and we die with Christ. And we are a new creation. And the thing is, we keep on going back to the old. We keep on trying to do CPR and artificial respiration on the old self. And Jesus is sitting there, is like, I killed that. You can move on now. You're a new creation. I nailed that to a cross. Can we move on? I have something new for you. I want you to walk into the light. And we're like, no, I struggle with this. I struggle with lust. I got this going on. I hurt that person. This person did that to me. And we hold on to that. And Jesus is, and the God the Father are saying, you are a new creation. You are free. Walk away from that. I don't know about you, but the more and more I try to work on my failings, the more and more I fail. But when I spend my time walking as a new creation into what Christ invites me to, I find all of a sudden those failings aren't as much as a failing anymore. The invitation of God speaking into creation, speaking into the chaos to bring life, and then stepping into that chaos to redeem us. It's a beautiful gift for us to walk towards. And the choice is ours. Next one. God took on flesh and became human and chose to live alongside us to give us a foretaste of what is to come. That dynamic, this is not it. This is just a blip of what is to come in the kingdom of God that is to be forever. Lately, my daughter, Grace, over there, we at nighttime while we're praying, we keep on talking about what heaven's going to be like. And she asked me, what am I most excited about in heaven? And I said, hair. But this eternal reality that we're invited to, of God's kingdom coming on earth in his reign. And it's crazy when you get into Revelation, because it doesn't talk about the sun bringing light. It's God's presence who's going to bring light. Being in that forever. And that give and take dynamic, but that love that is poured from the Father into the Son and the Son into the Father, we're invited into that dynamic. And that is what we get to experience for eternity. And the gift is here as we walk our lives out here, we get to walk that dynamic out too. Just as Jesus became flesh to give us a foretaste of that, through the Holy Spirit, we can live that way now. Through that dynamic. Next slide. Christ came for more than to redeem us from our sin. He came to make us a new creation and invites us to a new relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This is the gift that we begin to unwrap at Christmas. Christmas is just the beginning of God coming close, drawing near to us, redeeming and restoring us. And the amazing thing is, He has more and more to reveal to us. It's like the Christmas present that's wrapped too many times. You unwrap it and it's unwrapped again. You unwrap it and it's again. Because he wants to reveal who he is as he pours himself into you, redeeming you so that you can be who he made you to be, your child of God's selves. So as you live this year out as a follower of Jesus, I invite you to remember that your identity is one who's been redeemed. Your identity is a child of the Most High. That you are adopted, that you are a co-heir to the throne. That is who you are. you can live that out now through the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for these friends. And Father, thank you for stepping into the mess, because if it wasn't for that, what a mess we would be in. And Father, help us to not let the messiness hold us back from you, that we, with abandonment, can run to you and be received and be loved. And Father, as we are loved, help us to love others, to reflect that love that you've shown us. We love you, God.